Well, today also marks the start of a new financial year, so I guess Happy New Year. But while some Australians may be celebrating, many are still nursing a financial hangover from last year or maybe last night, while others are flat out dreading the year ahead. So just how worried are we financially and about what? We thought we'd head out onto the streets and into the shopping malls around the country to try to find out. Our business reporter David Taylor compiled this report.
We begin in Sydney's CBD with student Britzel and construction worker Claude, who are both struggling to get a deposit together for a home.
Depending on which area, we'll obviously be concerned.
I went to borrow $1 million before, maybe 6 months ago. They asked me to have in my bank $250,000. You know, so it's very hard to have that money, you know what I mean?
For those who are fortunate enough to own their own home, like Donna in Melbourne, paying off the mortgage is causing stress.
Because we've just bought a house last September and we've had a baby and I'm on maternity leave. I'm taking my maternity pay at half pay for 28 weeks rather than full pay for 14 weeks. I'm a teacher. So when that ends, I'll take the Centrelink payment for 18 weeks. And then after that, I'm concerned. I'm a bit concerned about the Centrelink money and then no money until I go back to work.
For Donna, there's only one way to deal with mortgage stress.
I mean, we're just going to have to deal with it, I suppose, now. And just spend less and cut back.
Jen Cheverton in Hobart is also watching every penny.
Like a lot of people, we think, well, we're going to be on a mortgage till he retires anyway, into our 70s probably. My husband has a full-time job. It's really only we're getting to the stage where we really have to nitpick what we spend on, so there's no superfluous spending or anything, you know. Mm.
Jen in Hobart. Well, David Taylor is with me in the studio. David, a few people talking about their mortgage stress there. What evidence is there that this is a widespread issue?
Well, Linda, the Westpac Melbourne Institute Index of Consumer Sentiment is the best thing for that. It's down nearly 1.5% over the year. Now, economists describe this as a disappointing result, given the cut in official interest rates last month, and say worries about the economy are outweighing the initial boost from lower interest rates. The bank's economists say household finances remain under pressure, but are expected to improve as lower interest rates and income tax relief comes through.
So what's happening at the policy level then to help Australians, you know, pay off the mortgage and make life financially at least less stressful?
A bit easier. Look, the Reserve Bank says it's got its hand on the interest rate trigger, ready to fire to reduce the cost of borrowing and, of course, to boost the number of Australians in work. The government says jobs are on the way, ready to soak up the millions of Australians who want a job or more hours. But look, there are concerns that that won't be enough. As it stands, for example, some economic indicators point to unemployment actually rising, not falling. So that, combined with house price falling, prices falling last month, marking 22 months of consecutive house price declines, is making Australians feel less wealthy and less confident to part with their money, as Deloitte Access Economics partner Nikki Hutley explains.
We tend to find that big ticket items, you know, tend to be put on the back burner. But we've also found in our modelling that it's actually income that is far more important when it comes to everyday items like, you know, food and basic clothing. So house prices do have some effect, but it's limited, particularly to those larger ticket items.
Economist Nikki Hutley there. Look, let's continue our journey around the country. Steve Collins, he's worried about falling house prices in his hometown of Townsville.
The bigger picture is the price of real estate in Townsville's been a big hit for most people that live here for a few years. I know personally, bought a house 8 years ago and it's worth less now. I mean, that's not a good thing.
It's not just about feeling less wealthy or coping with less money coming in. The rising cost of living continues to worry people like Layla Chakravarti, also living in Townsville.
Just paying the rent and food and bills and that kind of stuff, the basic things.
And low-income earners like Layla Chakravarti are now facing some new challenges. In February 2017, the Fair Work Commission proposed a four-stage schedule to lower Sunday penalties in retail and hospitality by 50%, with the final reduction occurring on July 1 next year. Workers who were paid double time for Sundays in 2017 will only receive time and a half in July 2020. For now, the Sunday loading comes down from 180% to 165%. rent. The move is designed to lighten the load for small businesses. Sam Weston runs a cafe in Darwin. Lower wage bills may help him out a bit, but for now, it's rising power prices keeping him up at night.
Because the bills keep coming in, the power bills keep going up and up. To be honest with you, power bill, if we want to have a moan, power's too expensive up here. That's my biggest killer. I've got a very good landlord, so my rent's reasonable, but power's the one that sort of chews up all my dollars.
And for those trying to make it into work, to keep those small businesses running across the country, 21-year-old Destiny told PM it's the cost of travel and the seemingly endless commute at the beginning and end of every day that's causing her stress.
So I'm out, you know, and I can't get to and from work even if I wanted a job. So they could really put more public transport out so more people can work and live a comfortable life. Especially for the young kids, it's hard.
Young professional Declan from Sydney is also sick of his commute.
My biggest financial problem at the moment is probably just travelling. I live out west, so my travel time takes quite a long time to get here.
And if your work life is over, you've paid off the mortgage and you're heading into what you hope is a comfortable retirement, super is no doubt at the forefront of your mind. That's certainly the case for Michael Brown in Perth. He describes himself as reasonably well off, but he doesn't trust policymakers to leave his superannuation alone.
Feel that, is it going to be safe in the future in the long term? Because I don't really have that sound security with it. With any government that comes in, there is no distinction on that will never be touched. Because I feel with policies that change, for them to get into power, things can happen really quickly. And as asked before, it is something that does strongly concern me, you know, and talking about it in my own social groups and with my family, I think we're all of the same concern.
The government's core strength, it says, is managing the economy. The coalition rode the entire election campaign on the back of what it calls its strong economic credentials. That message resonates with some in the small business community, like Bruce Kingston from the Gold Coast.
I think the overall state of the economy, the national economy, that drives most other businesses.
But here's where policymakers are going to find this financial year quite challenging. The economy, outside of exports and government spending, is, quote, doing it tough, in the words of one leading Australian economist. Government legislated tax cuts and spending on infrastructure, and further Reserve Bank interest rate cuts, are designed to jumpstart the economy and get choppers spending again. But the message PM heard from the streets is that many of us are keen to stay thrifty.
Maybe save it, you know, just to maybe try to buy a house later. But in that case, at the moment, it's very hard, you know, for people, for workers, to buy a house.
I'd save it. Only that's my mindset in the end, but definitely.
Why?
I think just cost of living is another factor that you'd want to save in the long term.
I'd save it.
Why?
Just as a backup for any long-term potential issues that might arise later on.
While Michael Brown from Perth worries even if there are more Reserve Bank interest rate cuts, he won't receive any benefit from it.
And why isn't there any legislation on whether they should or shouldn't? You know, why can't we have a clear distinction in the sense that we borrow that money off them for an investment and then we don't get any benefits as far as if the interest rates are lowered, why can't we receive that benefit?
Ultimately, more Australians will have money to spend on more than just the basic essentials if they're able to land more hours at work or, even better, a permanent full-time job. That's what Mitch, not his real name, from Darwin wants.
My plan right now is to suck it up and, look, just putt along until I get an opportunity that I can fit into.
Beautician Faith, also from Darwin, feels the same way.
Well, if I don't get enough hours at my work, then it's a bit harder to pay things. So I live with my partner and his parents, so I'm pretty lucky. I don't have to pay anything. But if I had to pay rent and all of that, I don't think I would cope.
But what if you've moved out and no level of interest rates or government welfare will help you achieve your financial goals? Well, there's another financial safety net that few people discuss openly. You see, many baby boomers enjoyed more secure employment than the current generation starting out in the workforce. And they also rode a decades-long property boom, leaving many of them well off. For Jen Cheverton in Hobart, it's money from her parents that will go some way to solving at least some of her financial problems.
The only solution, as horrible as it sounds, is inheritance. That will be the only thing that saves us, but even with that in years to come, we'll have the mortgage will be paid off and that'll be it. We'll still be living hand to mouth through the week and for bills and things.
So are policymakers aware of how much many Australians are fretting at night? Deloitte's Nikki Hutley again.
Policymakers are clearly aware, particularly those that live in the most disadvantaged areas, but as a government as a whole, in terms of the policy decision-making, we're not seeing policies aimed at dealing with that extreme hardship. Things like, you know, improving housing affordability, improving the New Start allowance, you know, helping young kids to get into jobs. You know, these are the sorts of things that we need to be doing at the coalface to really change this issue. And we're just not seeing that level of action at the moment.
Nikki Hutley from Deloitte Access Economics. David Taylor with that report.